Okay, let's turn our Bible to Psalm 56. Psalm 56. To the chief musician upon Jonathalem Rekokim, a miktam of David, when the Philistines took him in Gath. Verse 1, be merciful unto me, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me. O thou most high, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Every day they wrest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul. Shall they escape by iniquity? In thine anger cast down the people, O God. Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle, are they not in thy book? When I cry unto thee, then shalt turn back. This I know, for God is for me. In God will I praise his word, in the Lord will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust, I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Thy vows are upon me, O God, I will render praises unto thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living. Let us pray. Gracious God, as we look into your word, we pray, Lord, that you would help us to see Christ, how much he loves us, and how he takes note of all our suffering. Pray, Lord, that you would encourage us through your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Psalm 56 was written in the context of great threat, great despair, and great danger. Now, the title of the psalm tells us that it was written when David was captured, right, by the Philistines in the city of Gath. Now, if you remember that story, that was David after he was fleeing from Saul. He came to Gath. The Philistines captured him because they said, hey, that's David. Then they took him to their king, right, Achish. And then David, you know, became a madman to try and deceive Achish. And Achish said, oh, this is not David, right, and this is a madman. So David was released and he went and ran to the cave of Adullam where he sought refuge. Now in that cave, that was probably where David wrote this psalm. You know, David, who was once a hero, who had slain his 10,000s, he was no longer feeling very much like a hero. You could say he was feeling quite like a zero, right? He had hit rock bottom. And not only did he write Psalm 56, but the famous psalm that he wrote during this time was Psalm 34. So we want to ask the question, what is God's heart like to those who are in the midst of distress? How does he feel towards them? What will he do unto them? Now, the verse that we want to zoom in today for our devotion is found in verse 8. Right, verse 8. Let me just read it once again. Thou tellest my wanderings, put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? Now, in this verse, there are a lot of rarely used words that aren't really used elsewhere in the Bible, just one or two portions. And there's some play on words. And I think how it's written with these words, I think it's good for our learning. Now, the first part, we see how the Lord telleth my wanderings. Now, the word wanderings in the King James can be translated differently. You see in other versions, like the NIV, it translates wanderings as misery. If you look at the ESV, the word wanderings is translated as tossings. So while the King James translates it as, thou tellest my wanderings, the NIV is record my misery, and the ESV is you have kept count of my tossings. Now, the word tossings or wandering is the Hebrew word, now just bear with me, okay, the Hebrew word naughty, right? And this can be translated also as homelessness. That's why the King James translates it as wandering. Now, it comes from the root word, which speaks about a reed, right? A weak reed tossing in the wind, or it can be used about it can be used of wandering home or wandering aimlessly or homelessly. So it gives the idea of despair, right? David's mind, his thoughts were all wandering around, right? There was a lot of emotional tossing, you could say, in his heart, in his mind. Perhaps he laid awake at night thinking about his enemy, right? So that's the word naughty. Okay, the verb, this word, is also used twice in the book of Job. In Job 2, verse 11, it is translated as mourn. In Job 42, 11, it is translated as So David was moaning, okay? He was tossing in despair. That's what this word naughty means. Now, what does God do? We see here that he takes notice. He telleth my wanderings. He takes note of them. He counts them. He records them. Now, this word, telleth or counteth, it speaks of counting carefully. Now, you know, most of us here, we eat rice. Most of us, right? Now, when you cook rice, do you scoop the rice and you count every grain? Now, how many grains make a cup? You don't do that, right? You just scoop it, you level it off with your hand, and you toss it into the rice pot. When God counts, he counts every single grain. That's the word that we see here. You know, the Bible speaks of how God knows the number of hairs on counts them, right? It's not an estimation, but it's an accurate count of all the strands on the hairs of our head. So what David here is saying is that God counts. He knows all our tossings, all our mourning. And that's the word for telleth or count. It's the Hebrew word sefer, okay? It's the Hebrew word sefer. Now, in the second phrase, put thou my tears into thy bottle. You have the word bottle, and in Hebrew, it's pronounced as nod. Okay, nod. So, tossings is noddy. Bottle is nod, right? Now, the word sounds quite similar. Now, this word nod refers to a leather skin bottle for holding wine or for holding milk. What's the point of this metaphor? What's the point? Now, David's emotional response, his fear, you know, his response to danger, what we're told here is it's not been ignored by God. All his sleepless nights, all his tears have been meticulously counted and recorded. Not a single tear has gone to waste. And God here is seen as treating David's tears like precious water or precious milk that he stores in this bottle. Now, in desert environments, water is very precious, milk is very precious, and God is pictured here as collecting and preserving David's tears. So it's a picture of how God cares for the suffering of his people. He makes a record of every sleepless night, every tear. Now the third phrase, are they not in thy book? The book, or can be translated as scroll, is the Hebrew word sefred. Okay? Sefred. And that word sounds very much like the word telleth, right? That we see in the first part of the phrase. Now this word scroll or book is a scroll or book which someone might record down events in. I mean, one famous account is, you know, King Ahasuerus was awake at night. He could not sleep, so he called his, scribe in to read the book, right? The records. And it was from this record that he realized that Mordecai had not been rewarded. So it's really a beautiful phrase here. You know, if you appreciate the Hebrew, it's a play on words, right? Nodi sefer, right? God counts our tossings. Od sefred, all my tears are bottled, right? They're all recorded. You know, God is trying to say that, you know, tears, no problem. They're accounted for. Your problems, no problem, right? They are all accounted for. So the purpose of this recording in verse 8, you know, God is telling us that he knows our pain, he sees our tears, and the reason for our tears being recorded is so that God will not allow those who caused our tears, right, to escape judgment. Now you look at verse 9. We see that the enemies of David will be forced to retreat because of what? Because of the tears of David, right? Now, verse 9 says, when I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. And verse 9 concludes with these words, this I know, God is for me. You know, we can apply the words of the psalm to our individual situations. You know, people can say, oh, you know, I've got so many problems. You know, God notices them. He counts them. Yes, I think we can. But the danger often in doing that is we miss the forest for the trees. You know, psalms are meant to be understood messianically. They're meant to be understood in the context of the church. So while David writes, and while sometimes we can apply it to ourselves, the great lesson that we learn from the Psalms is not so much individual application, it is application to the church, application to Christ. You know, Christ is the greater David. You know, don't tell me that God never noticed all of his sufferings. You know, on the cross, God was the one who allowed it to happen. He understood and he took notice of Christ's sufferings. Now that is why he applies it to us. All the stripes that Christ experienced, right? The blood that was shed, right? He understands. He sees it. And furthermore, it refers also to the church. You know, we look at the church in the context of the persecution that happens today. You know, God sees it, he understands it, and he won't let those that attack his church go unpunished. You know, God counts all, you could say also, in his church. He numbers all of us. And I think this is a wonderful reminder to us that whatever problems we as individuals go through, we as the church goes through, God takes notice and he... Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for seeing and taking notice of all our troubles, and even as a people, how your church today is persecuted from without, from within. We pray, Lord, that you will assure us, and you have assured us from this psalm, that indeed, while taking notice, the purpose of your taking notice is to render judgment eventually. Lord, we ask it not only for our own lives individually, but for the greater good of the church. Lord, in this world there are enemies against the church. Father, that you would subdue them with the gospel. We pray this in Jesus' name.